Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly podcast from Gamia Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Rader, Senior Pastor here at GBC, and I'm excited about what God will do in your life as you listen today. This week, we continue our new series, Songs of the People, in which we are exploring the invitation, encouragement, and challenge of the Psalms. The Psalms that we'll be looking at are determined by the lectionary, the three-year cycle of readings that many churches around the world follow. This week, our youth coordinator, Matt Willis, dives into Psalm 145 and the question of what makes God so great.
Hello, church. Today's Bible reading is from Psalm 145, a psalm of praise of David. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him and all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
Like so many people, both young and old, I have found myself drawn in by a good superhero story. Stories about these beings, these individuals from another time, another world, another universe. Individuals who, for whatever reason, whether it be a bite from a radioactive spider, exposure to gamma radiation, or simply because they're not from this world, have been gifted with extraordinary abilities. Abilities and powers that they use to swoop in time after time to save the day. I love these stories. These are great stories, and there is something about them that just draws us in, that piques our interest and pulls on our heartstrings. And at first glance, the thing that you would think draws us in and keeps us coming back for more, the thing that leaves us kind of in awe of all the wonder, is the power that makes these heroes superheroes. This power and strength and ability that we witness in these characters is beyond anything we have ever seen or experienced. It is literally out of this world. And so it would be fair to assume that the thing that makes these heroes great is the power that they wield. But I mean, any superfan worth their salt knows that a good superhero story always has a threat lurking in the shadows, a supervillain waiting to attack. And these characters have just as much power, just as much strength and ability as those who would stand against them. which just goes to show that anyone can have power, anyone can take power, and anyone can choose to use the power that they have as they see fit. So again, it begs the question, what makes our superheroes so great? And I think the truth is that it isn't their power that makes them great. It isn't the fact that they are super, but it's the fact that in a battle between good and evil, light and dark, right and wrong, they choose to be the hero. They choose to be good. In fact, it reminds me of a classic quote from my all-time favorite superhero story, Spider-Man. A quote that has become so famous, it's now known as the Parker Principle. You might have heard it before. With great power comes great responsibility. And it ties into this idea that what makes a person great isn't the power that they hold, but rather how they choose to use it. There is a choice, and we all have a responsibility for the choice that we make with the power that we have. Now, despite what popular culture would lead us to believe, Uncle Ben was not the first person to speak these profound words. This quote dates back to Winston Churchill in the early 20th century and as far back into the French Revolution in the 1700s. This is an ideal, a principle that has resonated with humanity for centuries. And we've seen it done well, and we've seen it done poorly. But the ultimate example of power exercised with responsibility, of power being used for good, can be found in Scripture, more specifically found in Psalm 145. Now, if the title, A Psalm of Praise of David, wasn't enough to let you know what this psalm was all about, you only need to read the first two verses. I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. This is a psalm about praise. And as Mark Rader shared with us a couple of weeks ago, psalms of praise follow a particular structure that have two very distinct aspects. The nature of praise, what our praise should look like, and the reason for our praise, why we praise God. And it's the reason for our praise that David gives us here in Psalm 145 that I want to dive into first. The first thing that David wants to make abundantly clear is that God has power. God is most definitely super. And David leaves nothing to the imagination as he unpacks the fullness of God's power. I can almost see him as he's writing this psalm, pulling out an ancient thesaurus, probably the world's longest scroll, and looking up every possible synonym that he could use to describe God's power. He talks about God's greatness, his mighty acts, his majesty and wonderful and awesome works, his great deeds, his glory and splendor, God's everlasting kingdom and dominion. David is making it clear, God has strength, God has abilities, God has the power. But David wants to make sure that there remains no doubt in our mind when it comes to God's power. So he continues to illustrate this for us by talking about the dimensions and the magnitude of God's achievements. David is making sure that we understand that God's achievements are both monumental in size and so immense that we could not possibly wrap our heads around it. David speaks of God's power that the Israelites witnessed in the past during the Exodus. He speaks about the legacy of God's power that ripples through the future generations. He speaks of the unwavering, unquestionable dominion and rule of God, a kingdom that will never crumble, a reign that will never end. This is the enormity of God's power. And yet, weirdly enough, for David, this is not the defining reason. This is not the exclusive reason for his praise of God. What we continue to see in Psalm 145 is that God's power is directly tied to his goodness. And it's the relationship between these two things, these two aspects, between the ability of God's between God's ability and between God's character, his goodness, that actually makes God great. These mighty, wondrous, awesome acts that David speaks of were not merely acts of power designed to arouse astonishment, but they're deeds that express the goodness and faithfulness of God. And so it leads us to realize that the very thing that makes God great is the fact that he uses his power for good. And we see this quite clearly because David then commits almost a third of this passage from verses 13 to 20 to unpacking the truth of God's goodness. He makes it clear to us that God's goodness is expressed through his commitment to humanity. David shares about the moral qualities of this powerful being who is trustworthy and committed in both word and deed. Now, although our worldly experiences of people in power can at times be painted with corruption, what we find in God's character is the intention to use his power on behalf of those who need it. God is the one who is actively present in our lives and actively there for our good. He is the one that when we fall, he will lift us up, and at times he will stop us from falling altogether. He is the one who is also unfailingly providing sustenance for us, giving with an open hand and ensuring that all living things receive and are satisfied. He's the one who demonstrates his commitment by listening to and delivering all that we need. God has the power. God is super. But what makes him great is that he chooses to use it for good, is that he chooses to be the hero. Now, just quickly as an aside, I got to this point of my reading in Psalm 145 and had a little light bulb moment that I wanted to share with you guys. If you were here with us last week, you would have heard Mark Coleman speak out of Psalm 114. And he shared with us that the power of God has been placed in each of us. It's been vested in us and it creates within us this potential that is ready to be released. We need only take up the invitation to act. We need only to find the direction that God is calling us in and act on the power that he has placed in each of us. And so with this in the back of my mind, as I read Psalm 114, a psalm that so clearly ties God's power to his goodness and faithfulness, I realized that for us, part of the invitation to act out of God's power in our lives is to be a living reflection of God's goodness in our world. We are called to shower God's goodness throughout our community. Regardless of where someone might be on their faith journey, regardless of whether they are even on a faith journey, what we see in Scripture is that God's goodness is freely given. And as God's people, as Christ's ambassadors, as vessels of God's power, we need to be a living example of God's goodness in our world. But hey, it's just a little food for thought. If we return back to Psalm 114, what we see is that David is less concerned about us and more interested in what God deserves. A God who in all of his greatness uses his immense power for our good. And this is the reason, This is the reason David praises and the reason that he calls us to praise, because God deserves it. Which leads us to the other aspect of a psalm of praise that I mentioned earlier, the nature of praise. What does our praise then look like? Well, I think it's fair to say that praise cannot be condensed to singing a couple of songs each and every week. What we see in this psalm is that praise occurs anywhere, anytime, with anyone. David kind of starts in the middle and builds layer upon layer this picture of an all-consuming, all-encompassing, whole life experience and expression of praise. He starts with the individual. I will exalt you. I will praise you. Every day of my life, forever and ever, until my life ends, I will commit to praising you. I will commit to exercising the spiritual practice of identifying your goodness and your greatness in the world and giving you all the glory and honor. Everything that my life is, everything that I do, everywhere that I go, I will commit myself to praising you, God. But it doesn't just stop there at the individual, it moves out. He talks about how we as a corporate body of people are invited to worship. In verse 10, your faithful people extol you. When we come together, it should again be a living, breathing embodiment of praise. The world should be able to look at us and see the greatness and goodness of God. And that praise should not just end in our lives, but ripple throughout the generations that come. It should go on and live on even after we are no longer here, to the point where all creation, in verse 21, every creature praises his holy name. It's clear that our praise of God is not something that can be compartmentalized, but rather praise is an all-consuming, all-encompassing, whole life expression of our awe and honor to God. So where do we start? Well, I've got to admit, the first thing that I thought of is our incredible worship team. I love a lot about our worship team, but the thing that I love most is not necessarily their musical skill and technique, although they've got that in spades. It's the fact that each and every week, either in person or through a screen, they demonstrate to me what it is to come into the presence of God and marvel at his goodness and his greatness. They demonstrate to me what it looks like not to just sing songs of praise, but to live it out as an all-encompassing expression of praise in my life. They demonstrate what a whole life committed to the praise of our good and great God looks like. And as they lead us in worship, they aren't leading us to learn how to hold a tune, but rather that we might also live out the kind of praise that echoes throughout the generations. A life of praise that is not confined to a Sunday service, that is not confined to these four walls, but rather a life of praise that resonates wherever we are, whatever we're doing at any time. As we walk up the road to get our morning paper, as we drive through traffic to drop our kids off at school, as we sit in the stillness of the lunchroom before the chaos of work takes over our afternoon, as we walk out of that final exam with a sigh of relief at the thought that we never have to think about calculus ever again, in every moment we can worship. In every moment we can live a life of praise. And imagine if as individuals, if as a community, if as all creation, we lived out our praise of God with such commitment and such determination, imagine the sound that that would make. Imagine what our wider community would hear. Well, that's the kind of praise I think David is talking about. That's the kind of praise that will see lives changed. That's the kind of praise that will resound forever and ever. Because when we lift up our eyes to God in all His glory and splendor, when we lift up our eyes to His mighty works and His great deeds, when we lift up our eyes to His eternal throne, His reign that will never end, when we lift up our eyes to see His power, what we are really seeing is a God who is committed to His people, committed to His promises. What we are really seeing is a God who is present, faithful, and good. What we are really seeing is our God whose greatness is found in His goodness. And there seems to be no better reason to praise His holy name forever and ever. Amen.
God's greatness is not merely His power and strength, but His good and gracious character. God's greatness is manifested not just in what He can do, but on what He does on behalf of His people. And for that reason, we are called to a determined whole life commitment to praise. We hope you join us again soon and would love for you to join us for church at www.gbconline.org.au at our regular service times of 8:30, 10:30, and 6 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. You can also follow us on Facebook or visit our website at gamiabaptist.org.au. Until next time, God bless.